Knock, knock. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Let's try this again. You know how it goes. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Hatch. Bless you. I thought it was starting with a knock-knock joke because of the readings today in the gospel. Jesus talks about knocking on the door, right? So I thought it was appropriate. So I think for a lot of us, well, I know many, few, some, many of us maybe fear knocking on that door of Jesus, right? Because we may not know what we're going to find on the other side, and that makes us a little nervous. How many of you remember the show Let's Make a Deal? Yeah, it's still on, but I remember Monty Hall in my day, right? And the one game where he would say, do you want behind what's behind door number one, door number two, or door number three? And the crowd would be shouting out, picking, you know, two, four, three, one. And I think sometimes that's how we view knocking on that door for Jesus. We're like, you know, making a guess whether we're making the right decision or not. And I think that kind of keeps a lot of us from seeking what's behind that door. But instead of looking at it like, let's make a deal, I think a more apt way of looking at it is a children or birthday party. So imagine this little boy or girl, and they have 10 birthday presents in front of them, and their eyes light up because they don't know which one to open first. Now, when I think of going to God to seek his will for my life, that's what I try to envision. I'm not scared of what's behind door number one. I'm not worried that it's the clunker instead of the new car, or the washboard instead of the new washer and dryer. I know that God is there to give me good things. That's what Jesus said, right? That's what he was trying to prove to us in the gospel reading, is that God knows how to give good things. And so we don't ever need to fear to knock on the door to see what Jesus needs in our life, to seek God's will in our life. But we tend not to do that, right? I mean, there's some obstacles that keep us from really, really, truly seeking God's will for our life. I know one of them obstacles for me is that it's not one and done. I don't just ask one time and God says, well, Mike, here's my plan for your life. Here's my will for your life. No. I think for many of us, it takes years to kind of find out what God needs from us in our lives, and it kind of evolves. And I think that's what Jesus was saying today in the gospel when he talks about persistence in prayer. That we can't just go to God every once in a while, now and again, but we need that persistence in our prayer life. We need that persistence to kind of seek out what's God's will for our life. We need to look at it like there's a room full of presents. And we look forward to opening each present every now and again. So if we keep persistence in our prayer life, we keep seeking the will of God for our lives, we get to keep opening presents. And that's kind of cool. Jesus uses the example of the neighbor to, knocking on the door looking for the three loaves of bread. And that neighbor is us, by the way, just in case, you know, you didn't know that. So he uses that example of persistence that even though for friendship, the neighbor may not have gotten up, for persistence he will. So we need to keep persistence in prayer. I think another example is that we get set in our ways, another obstacle for me. And it's not hard to prove that because all I have to do is look out in the pew to see set in our ways, right? Father and I really do appreciate that you always sit in the same place because we know when you're not here. So, but you're not alone. I was at a meeting this week and we were talking about hospitality, and a parishioner related the story of her and her husband made a trip, and they were out of town, out of state. They went to the parish, and after Mass, a parishioner came up to them real excitedly saying, oh, are you new to our parish? And they said, no, we're just from out of town visiting. And she said, oh, I knew you didn't go here because you were sitting in Mrs. Johnson's pew. So
You're not alone. But we get set in our ways. As we mature, we make our box. We make our box, and we're very careful of who and what we let in our box. And then we tend to put God in a box also. We want God to fit in our box. We want our prayer life to fit in that box. And so our prayer life becomes narrow. It becomes small. We pray little. I pray little. It's a problem of mine as well. You know, I may pray for this thing or that thing, and I'm just like too afraid to pray big. To pray big for what God really has in store for me. And so that's one of the challenges, that we need to pray bigger. We need to pray for God's will in our life. So what do we pray for? Well, it was the end of the gospel today. Jesus, it was there. Jesus said, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? So if we want to pray bigger, pray for the Holy Spirit. And it's one of the most easy prayers that there is, because all you really have to do is find a quiet place, kind of relax, focus, and say, come, Holy Spirit. Some people use it as a mantra. They repeat it over and over. Come, Holy Spirit. So when we're asking for God what he wants for our lives and his will for our life, come, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that big gift that God is ready to give to us. And so, it's the powerhouse. The Holy Spirit, I know, is often forgotten, but it's there to give us the help we need to carry out God's will for our life. And so, remember, persistence in prayer, pray often, pray big, pray for the Holy Spirit, and brush up on your knock-knock jokes.